If you will, turn in your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 9. People need the Lord. Our beach club, my church, has three boxes of Bibles here that they pass out to kids at school. And we're going to pray over these Bibles, okay? So that when they get these Bibles, they'll already been blessed and God will speak to their hearts. So let's just bow our heads right now and let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the privilege of holding up your word, praying over it. And Lord, we ask that you touch each one of these children that these Bibles go to, that you might let your spirit dwell with them. Lord, that they'll see Christ in our workers and Christ in your word. Bless these Bibles that they might reach the whole family. For some of them do not have Christian parents. And Lord, may they read each word in this Bible and it speaks to their heart. God, as we give them out to the students, we ask that you bless them. Bless our workers. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 11. The Word of God says, "And they asked him, saying, Why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? Then he answered and told them, Indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as is written to him. And when he had came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked his scribes, What are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, This kind can come out only by only by nothing but prayer and fasting. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, today, Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts. Lord, we all come here this morning, and every one of us have different needs in our life. We have problems. We have good times. But Lord, we all have those problems that come our way. And Lord, I pray this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture that you will speak to our hearts to the point of our need. And Lord, I ask that if there's a lost person here this morning, that they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they might ask you to come into their life today. Heavenly Father, we just give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. As we look at Scriptures, we see that many times Jesus performed these things where he would cast out the demons. He's just come down off the Mount of Transfiguration, and he runs into a group of scribes who have been talking to his disciples. And they've got a difficult situation on their hand, and chaos is reigning in the lives of the people. They don't know what to do. And the disciples who were left behind were being questioned by these scribes. And there was a multitude of people hanging around these disciples. And this man with a demon-possessed boy. So we have, first of all, a difficult situation that comes our way. Now, I don't know about you, but I like the mountaintop. I like living on the mountaintop. I like it when everything is going well, when God is blessing, when you're being fed, you're being excited about the Word of God, you're witnessing, you're talking about winning souls to Christ. There's all kinds of people out there, and they do need the Lord. This is the same instance here. There's a difficult situation, and these disciples don't know what to do. Look at the desperate world we see. The situation reminds me of this world that we're living in. All around us, people are hurting. There's men and women who are defeated in their lives. Now, this man has a son who has a dumb spirit in him, and he couldn't hear, nor could he speak. And this demonic spirit came upon this young boy, and he convulsed him, and he threw him to the ground, and he began foaming at the mouth in these convulsions. Some says it was epilepsy, but it wasn't. Some said it was a chemical imbalance in the young man, but it probably wasn't. I believe what the Bible says, it was actually a demon-possessed young man. This young boy was dominated by the devil. And it is a picture today, I believe, of how the devil takes control of an individual. I run into a man the other night in our town, and he was an addict. He was addicted. And he asked me if I would buy him some food. And I said, I'd be glad to buy you some food, but I'm not going to feed your addiction. And I asked him if he understood that. And he said, yes, I do. I said, when's the last time you had a meal? And he said, the other evening. And he was sitting by the dumpster, fixing to go through the dumpster, looking for something to eat. And I thought, how the devil has whipped this man's life. How he's brought him to a part of his life where he was so devastated in his life that he thought he might have to dig through a dumpster to find something to eat. And that's in Gun Barrel, folks. We've got people all around us that are hurting. The devil's whipped them. He's in control of their lives. That was the common thing in those days. We see demonic spirits ruling in the people's lives, and Jesus would cast those devils out. And when Jesus came, he constantly confronted the demonic world, and he released people from under the power of the devil. Now, the Bible says that the devil is the prince of the air, Ephesians 2:2. This old world, he runs rampant in it. He gets people hung up on all kinds of addictions in life. Men and women who were made in the image of God, made to be able to choose God, oh, the devil is determined to whip us and mar the image that God wants us to be. All around us, it's a difficult situation in our time and day. This boy had been like this, he said, since childhood. A very little boy being possessed by a demon. Now let me say, the demons or the devil wants to get a hold of our children today. When they're young, he wants to wreck their little lives. He wants to destroy their lives. Listen, parents, if you got children, the devil does anything and everything he can to get into the mind of your child. Think about it. Sins that used to be in our country sins of adults, we now see them as sins of our very young children. We find little children on drugs. We find little children on alcohol. We find little children looking at pornography. And little children who are now having sex at young ages. Well, let me tell you something. The devil is running rampant in our town, in our country. And their minds are being fed lies from the devil. And he uses everything that he can. And if you will look at your television, those children, most of it's embarrassing. Watch what your children watch on television. You see, watch what they play on computers. Because the devil starts very early in life. And parents, you had better start early to get them protected by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are to train up our children in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they will not forget it. Oh, I tell you what, man, I love my parents for bringing me to Christ. I love my parents for bringing me to church. You know, back then I thought, man, I don't want to go, but I went. And I'm so glad today that was the case in our family. When a young boy or girl comes down and gives their life to Jesus, I try not to sell them short. I try to I pray for them and believe that God, they can understand the Bible. Don't ever think that these young boys and girls down here that Brother Bill's talking to don't understand the stories. Oh, they know them. And many of these have been saved and they've been won to Christ at a young age. You know, I think about it this way. If they can be filled with the devil, then God can fill them with his Spirit. Now, which one do you want your children to be filled with as parents? You know, the world bombards their minds in all kinds of obscene things. Television is just exploding with filth. It's not even good to watch anymore. Humanistic philosophies Man, I don't tell you how to vote. I never would try to tell you how to vote, but let me tell you something. It is crucial that you go and vote. And you find out what those candidates stand for. You find out who they serve. And you vote for the Christian. You see? With some of them, all we have to do at a young age is just bring them to church and teach them the Word of God. Claim those children for Christ, parents. I know it's hard. I know everything's hard nowadays. And the old devil wants to make you think you just can't do it. I hear preacher, I work all week long, and on Sunday morning, I'm just tired. Well, the devil will make sure you're tired. But you get above that tiredness, and you bring those kids to church, and you claim them for Christ, and you let them hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here is a boy in whose life the devil had control. Look at verse 18. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. The devil's got a hold of his life. The devil was ruining his life. The devil doesn't love you. The devil doesn't care for your children as long as he can ruin their lives. As long as he can ruin your life as a parent, that's what the devil wants. And let me tell you something else. The world doesn't love you. No, it doesn't. It's out to wreck your life. As a Christian, we're going against the flow. We're going against the world. Now, that was a desperate world. Then we see something else. In 18 and 19, we see a defeated church. I want you to listen to this. We see a defeated church. It sees him, throws him, and he says in the last part of 18, "So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Now, here's a man in a desperate situation with a little boy. He's demon-possessed. He can't speak. He can't hear. And he comes to the disciples of Christ. Now, Jesus has already given them the power. But they can't cast this demon out of this little boy. They are powerless. You see, in Mark 6, verse 7, it says he's given them power over the unclean spirits. Did you know that? Jesus Christ had given them power over the unclean spirits. Look at what he says in verse 7 of 6. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over the unclean spirits. But they were a defeated group of men. They were being made fun of by these scribes. The father had brought their boy, his boy, to these disciples. It would be like someone bringing their child to church for us to tell them about Jesus Christ. And we say, "Oh, but we can't. We don't know how to do that." Isn't that a shame? Wouldn't it be a shame? On occasions, they had done exactly what this man wanted to do, but here, they were not having any power. They were not able to cast this demon out. They were completely powerless, and the scribes loved every minute of it. Let me tell you something. When the world sees you as a Christian powerless, the world loves every minute of it. They make fun of you because we say we have power. We say we have peace of God. We say, but yet we don't do it. And when the world sees us not doing it, they laugh at us. And these disciples, maybe, he says, you're tired. Maybe your God, your teacher, maybe his power is fading. You see, that's what the world says. And what a tragedy it is when we have a desperate world and a powerless church. When I talk about a powerless church, I talk about a church that hadn't had revival in years. I talk about a church that hadn't seen the baptismal water in years. I talk about a church that doesn't witness. I talk about a church where attendance has dropped. I talk about a church that doesn't really pray, and they're powerless in their life. That's a tragedy, isn't it? A desperate world outside and a powerless church on the inside. You see what the church has done today? They have so compromised with the world, they can't stand on the Word of God anymore. They're so compromised with the world that they stand powerless in the onslaught of the world and the devil. We don't know what to do. Well, preacher, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Reminds me of Ai. You know, Joshua sent the men out and they said, oh, Ai is just a small. We don't need this many guys to whip them. And they're so full of themselves that they go out, and guess what? They get whipped. And Joshua asks God, what's wrong? And he says, you've got sin in your camp. You know the story of Achan. He took some of the gold and possessions for himself. God says, that's sin in the camp. I can't help you when there's sin in the camp. And folks, that goes for the church also. When a church loses its power, when a church loses its zeal for the Word of God, when a church doesn't do what God asks it to do, then they become powerless in the face of a desperate world. Not only do we see a difficult situation in a desperate world, we see a divine solution. Look at verse 19 through 29. Jesus took control of the situation. You know what he said? And he answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Isn't that wonderful? That Jesus is the answer for the powerless church. Jesus is always the answer. For everything that we have, we need to cultivate our faith. Have you ever thought about that? We need to cultivate our faith. We need to grow our faith. And Jesus says, bring him to me. And this is what the Lord says to us. You see, we have a desperate people outside these walls. They are lost. They don't know Jesus Christ. I fed that young man and I took his meal to him. He couldn't go in and get it. But I took his meal to him. I was about to hand it to him. And he reached out to grab it. And I said, wait. I'm going to give you this. But first we're going to pray to God and bless it to your body. And he said, oh. And I prayed. And I prayed for him. I prayed for his soul, and I prayed for the food. And he said, you know, that's the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. He's not here today, but I invited him to church. And if he's here, I hope you're listening. You know, it is cool because God does answer our prayers. God speaks to us. But all I see is wrecked lives. Wrecked lives. And Christ says, bring them to me. I am the solution. You know, folks, if you would just invite someone to come to church or bring them to church so that they could hear the Word of God, you'd be surprised how much God would bless you. I ask you over and over and over in your Christian walk, day by day, as you go, make disciples. Every time you see someone that God puts you in contact with, hey, he came to me. And it happens over and over and over. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the cure. Oh, but preacher, I had a bad experience. Well, you know, sometimes we're disappointed by the experience. But let me tell you something. Don't stop for a bad experience. Just keep on going. Keep on doing what Christ says to do. Bring them to me, and God will bless. If I tried to live the Christian life on the basis of what others did, boy, I'd be defeated. I'd be defeated every time. But don't fix your eyes upon a man. Don't fix your eyes upon a woman. Fix your eyes upon Jesus Christ. He is the answer to our problems. He is the answer to everything that we do. Bring him to me. He is the object of our faith. And then Christ says, if you can believe, all things are possible. You see, the man said, if you can do something, Lord, and he had it wrong, didn't he? If Jesus can. Well, you know who he was talking to? He was talking to the creator of the universe. He was talking to the one who upholds all things. You see? He calmed the storms. He calmed the waves. He walks on water. The problem is not if Jesus can. The problem is if you can believe, Jesus says. And Jesus spoke the words of faith, and the Bible says the Spirit came out, and he fell down as if he was dead. You know, we must die to ourselves if we want Christ to use us. Now, Jesus reached down and lifted him up, and he has life, you see. He has life in his body now. He has peace in his body. I think about that old song, From Sinking Sand, he lifted me with tender hands. He lifted me from shades of light to plains of shades of night, to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. Aren't you glad that Jesus lifted you up? You may not have the problems this young man has, but I guarantee you, we've got problems, don't we? We've got little faith. We've got problems. Then he convicts us of our failures. Disciples waited till they were all alone. They went back to the home and said, why? Why couldn't we do that? Now, Matthew 17, 20, 21 gives a fuller account. Something evidently had happened in their thinking. Something happened in these disciples' thinking. Maybe they had started putting their faith in themselves. I don't know. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We cast out a demon. Have a victory over a situation, and we think, oh, that wasn't bad. I think I can do that. Is that right? Yeah. We start thinking, well, you know, God has blessed us. You know, I'm doing pretty good. Jesus says, you know, when we start putting ourselves first instead of him, we fail. And it's easy to do. We start simply by putting faith in a process. instead of the one who causes it to happen. It's not a process, it's a person. Our faith has to be in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe one of them had been proud of what they had done, and they neglected something in their proudness. Jesus implies that it's the lifestyle that they have. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying maybe we don't have the power like we used to, because we're going through a process instead of prayer. You see, Jesus says, for this reason, our powerless is prayerlessness. We put our faith in a process, and we don't pray about it. Folks, we need to pray about every situation in our life. On Sunday, we pray. Sunday night, we pray. Wednesday night, we pray. But on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, do we ever pick up a Bible and pray? Do we ever think about what God's Word says and pray? Do we get our minds on God and kneel and pray and ask God to help us, show us a lost person, let us witness with power in our life? Or we just say, God, bless this food for which we have, amen, and go our way. Thank you for giving me a good day. Now let me sleep through the night. Amen. You see, that doesn't bring power, does it? It's when we get on our knees before God and spend time in prayer and in faith that He gets us to the point where we have the power over the desperate world and the desperate situation and the difficulties of, you know, when we go through problems in life, those problems draw us closer to God. It's only when we have problems that we seem like, oh, preacher, we've got to pray about this situation. And we get on our knees and really pray. And God blesses. And other times we think, well, I don't have to pray about this. I can take care of it myself. And we fall flat of our face. I give this illustration a long time ago. One Sunday morning, the organist got up to start playing. I thought about Jody this morning. That thing over there has got so many keys, I don't see how she can keep up with them. But she says she knows what every one of them does. Well, one Sunday morning, she got up and she started to play that organ, and there's no sound whatsoever come out of it. No sound whatsoever. Realizing that something was wrong, the preacher started to pray. The old janitor, he realized, you know, I unplugged that thing the other day so I could vacuum around it. And he slips up there and plugs it back in. And he writes on a note and hands it to Jody. And he says, when the prayer is over, the power will be on. Folks, isn't that like our lives? We have unplugged ourselves from God. We've unplugged ourselves from reading His Word. We've unplugged ourselves from going to church. We need to plug our lives back in to Jesus, because He has the power. And He says, when we pray, we will receive the power. And when the power is on, we'll have prayed and prayed and prayed. You can't have revival without prayer. You can't do anything without prayer. Here was a desperate world and a difficult situation. And Jesus says, you've got to have prayer. You've got to have faith in prayer. Disciples, you can't cast a demon out like this unless there's much praying. And we're not going to see souls saved in our church or in this town or anywhere else until our churches once again get on their knees before God and pray, desperately wanting Him to move. Now, if someone's here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to plug your life in to Christ. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're lost in our sinfulness, but God is the answer, and He wants you to plug your life in to Him. You simply do that by saying, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize You died for me. I want You to come into my heart. And guess what? He will. It's just that simple. He'll come into your heart if you really mean that. He'll come into your life. And then you plug your life in and you start praying and you start reading your word. Watch your life grow. Watch your life change. Some of you here need to make that decision. Some of you here need a church home and you're looking for a church home. Would you come? Plug yourself in right here. You see? Plug yourself in to this church where we can work together to reach people in this community. Some of you are already members and you're already Christians, and yet you haven't prayed in years. Plug yourself back into the prayer life. See what God will do in your prayer life. And see how He will bless you. Let us pray. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You today that, Lord, You are the solution for everything we need. Let us plug our lives in by faith to Jesus Christ this morning. And we'll give You the glory. For it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.